How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
Your children are here to teach you and guide you, not make your life miserable. What if I gave you a permission slip that said, your job is to feel good? And what if I told you that the better you feel, the bigger impact you can make in the world? And in fact, that is the magical parenting strategy that we've all been searching for. Hey, I'm Heather Chauvin, wife, mother of three boys, former social worker, breadwinner, recovering hustler, and stage 4 cancer survivor. Beyond all of these titles and labels, I'm a human being just like you, attempting to navigate it all while feeling good. My goal on this show is to show you that you can live an energized, sustainable life both at home and at work. My attempt is to keep it real with stories, interviews, and random thoughts. This is not a business or career podcast, and it's not a parenting podcast. It's both and so much more. You will laugh, you will cry, and you may even get a little frustrated with the truth you've been hiding from yourself. I believe all human behavior is a language, whether it's through your children, your health, or your relationships. And when you learn to listen instead of react, we begin to understand what it truly means to feel alive and in control. It's time to ditch self-sacrifice and step into your brave zone. All right, ladies, I'm back, and as promised, today's episode is all about your children's behavior. So, if you are familiar with me and my work and you've been following me for a while, then you know my story about why I do what I do. But to give you a nutshell version, if you are new here, I am going to tell you, I feel like I say this all the time, but this may be the first time you hear it. Understanding and dissecting children's behavior is my jam. If you asked me, Heather, what could you do all day, every day, it would be to listen to parents' challenges and struggles with understanding their own children and being able to reconnect to their children on a deeper level. The reason why I do what I do is actually for your children. I don't do the work for you. And that may sound a little harsh, but it's the truth. Because my background as a social worker, or as a former social worker, I'm no longer a registered social worker. But when I was, I worked with families, and a lot of it had to do with understanding their children's behavior. And not only that, I worked within a system that, you know, would label children as defiant or behavioral. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? And I know that parents do the best that they possibly can with the tools and strategies that they have been given. And, you know, I don't believe in good mothering, and I don't believe in bad parenting. When people think, am I a good mother? What does that even mean? Because I think it's like asking yourself, am I a good human being? I believe we all have good intentions, even the most evil people. Hurt people. And, you know, when we can truly begin to heal our wounds, we can see other people differently. So If a child is driving you crazy, if a child is driving you to your breaking point, or a child makes you angry or frustrated, they're just igniting something inside of you. But that child's behavior is also speaking to you. So let me give it to you this way. If a child said, "Mom, I'm hungry. Can you please make me a sandwich?" You weren't going to say, "Go make your own sandwich." But if they communicated directly to you, "I'm hungry. Can I please have a sandwich?" You would know, okay, it's time to make a sandwich, and you would make the sandwich. But when a child's behavior is saying the exact same thing to you, but they're not using words, they're using behavior. Maybe their blood sugar's low, and so they get a little crazy, or they get hangry or angry. And what they're really trying to say is, "I'm hungry." But they don't know how to say, "I'm hungry," because they don't have the self-awareness to say, "I'm hungry," right? So their behavior is showing you that they're hungry, but they haven't yet put the words to their behavior, because that takes a lot of self-awareness. Now, here's where I get tripped up with parents. And I also want to let you know that I teach what I teach because I had to learn it myself. There were many years where I was screaming, I was yelling, I was angry and resentful at my children because I truly did not understand what their behavior was telling me. I blamed my children for their behavior. I said, "You're a good kid, you're a bad kid, you deserve time out, you deserve all of this," right? We all do this. This is traditional parenting. This is what we've been taught. We are frustrated. And I hear this on a daily basis from women in my community, but also just every single parent that I meet. The first thing they say to me is, "How many children do you have?" "3, all boys." "Oh my goodness, your life must be full," right? All of the assumptions and projections. And I can typically tell what someone's parenting experience has been based on what they are projecting onto me and what my experience has to be. So understanding that every human, whether it is your child or your mother or your father or your partner or, you know, that employee or that coworker, every single human's behavior is trying to tell you something. Think about that. Every text message that you receive, every phone call that you receive, every time somebody yells at you, their behavior is screaming at you, saying, "I have an unmet need and I don't know how to meet my need." But here's the thing. Here's my perspective on parenting and human behavior. We cannot teach somebody to do something if we do not understand it ourselves. So we want our children to be perfect little beings. We want them to know the emotional cues and know how to communicate their anger and their anxiety and their frustration. We want them to have the self-awareness that we are not willing to develop in ourselves. Let me repeat that again. We want them to have the self-awareness that we are not willing to develop in ourselves. So, I'm going to be flat out honest with you in today's podcast. There are no quick fixes. You need to get rid of that mindset. There are no perfect strategies. Every single time a parent says to me, "Well, I've read all of the parenting books. We practice this type of parenting." You are limiting your ability to understand your child's behavior. The second that you label your child or say, "This is the way we do things," and yet there is a disconnect, meaning that way is not working for you because it doesn't work for that child, you are out of alignment. So, my goal for you is to always feel in control. And I do not mean be in control. Feel that when shit hits the fan and you are like, OMG, what is going on? You know what to do internally in order to reground yourself. This takes commitment. This takes dedication. And this is exactly what I teach my clients. But I'm telling you, it is a practice. It's a conviction. It's a dedication. It's a devotion to yourself, to your family. And if you listen to this podcast and you take no action from it, like you do not even make a subtle shift in your life, you will not see or experience any shifts. You cannot buy your way out of this transformation. You have to invest in your transformation. So, although I believe that we are humans having a spiritual experience, I just lied. I said that backwards. We are spirits having a human experience. That's what I meant. We're a spirit or a soul in a body having a human experience. I want you to understand that your child is a spirit or a soul in a body having its own human experience. And your job as a parent, as a guardian, as a teacher, is to simply guide that child. Their behavior is not your fault. Their behavior is not your fault. Although you do have influence on their behavior. If my child decides to punch his brother in the face, I had no control over him punching his brother in his face. Now, the way that I act and what he observes from me may have influenced that behavior. But our job is to teach our children, regardless if they're 2 or 20, to take radical ownership for their choices. So if I'm choosing to yell at my children, I am not choosing to choose a different way. My point is, every thought, every word, every action that you take, when you begin to create ownership for yourself, when you begin to take ownership for your life and your energy, this is where the work begins. This is a spiritual practice. Parenting is personal growth on steroids. You have more control than you give yourself credit for. But you will have to abandon everything that you've been taught about parenting. Because for some reason, it has been marketed as this extra relationship, this unique skill where we can manipulate and stress out about things, or we're supposed to be worried all the time. And that if we don't put our children in the best school and in the best clothes and hanging out with the best friends, they're going to be failures. But they are more resilient than we give ourselves credit for. Or if they don't get A pluses, we've failed. What is your child here to teach you about yourself? What is your child here to teach you about yourself? All right. So I'm going to answer a few questions. If you are on the text app, so you can text me. I sent out a request to everybody who's in my community. And the beauty of that was I got some feedback. So I asked everybody, I said, send me your parenting questions. I got like 100 100 people replying back to me with their parenting challenges, the behavior challenges. So if you want to, although I'm not taking that right now, but if you want to be able to, you know, if you want to be on that list, or you can just text me, you could send me a text and be like, Heather, today's podcast was a game changer. Thank you. I want to hear from you. I receive all of them. I respond to as many as I possibly can. Please text me 313-710-5199. So let me know what you thought of today's podcast. All right. So the point of this is I received all of these requests around behavior. And there are so many. So many. So let's dive into some of these questions. So Courtney says, Heather, my child's 7 years old. The most challenging behavior is inadequacy and negative self-talk. I don't feel like my husband and I model negative self-talk. I don't understand why my son dips into black and white thinking. His major frustration over small requests and negative self-talk is so often. I struggle to pull him up and out with the behavior without rescuing. The negativity is a huge trigger for me. I need more tools to and the language support to coach him. Amazing. Courtney, I wanted to say thank you so much for this question or behavior challenge, because you're not alone. And I want to give you a different perspective. And this perspective may challenge the way that you think and the way that you approach your son. It also make you really incredibly uncomfortable regarding motherhood and how we mother. So I want you to be mindful that part of the reason why I got into what I do is meditation and mindfulness was my go-to. My first product that I actually sold was called Teach Your Kid to Meditate. And the reason why it was called Teach Your Kid to Meditate is because I really wanted parents to be able to teach meditation and mindfulness to their children. But what we didn't realize was, or what I didn't realize was, I couldn't teach meditation and mindfulness to my son if I didn't know how to use these skills myself. So the more I began to develop meditation, a meditative practice or a mindfulness practice, and it doesn't look perfect these days. I mean, you can sit in meditation for 3 hours a day. It's really just about, sorry, not 3 hours a day, 3 minutes a day. It's really about you developing the self-awareness that we are not our thoughts, right? We are not our thoughts. Because when we become the coach, when we practice what we are preaching, we can then become unattached to other people's behaviors and reality. So what does that mean for your seven-year-old? Your seven-year-old son is a spiritual being having this human experience. And when we look at him as a spiritual being having a human experience, we begin to understand that, again, we are his guide, right? We are his guide to teach. We are his guide to allow him to come to us, allow him to learn from us. But at the age of seven, he still has so much life to live and learn. And he's allowed to have negative self-talk. He's allowed to be human. But here's the thing in your question is about the rescuing. You said here, where is it? I struggle to pull him up and out with the behavior without rescuing. So it's not your son who needs to learn how to develop his negative or how to get rid of his negative self-talk at the age of seven, right? Is that a realistic expectation when somebody in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s doesn't even know how to do that? We can't expect a seven-year-old to know how to flip the script on a negative self-talk, right? So oftentimes our expectations are so unrealistic that we are putting on our children. But you also have to be mindful of your rescuing. What is the story that you're telling yourself of why you need to change his behavior? Why do you need to be responsible for his mental health? What I mean by that is, why are you taking on the responsibility of having to manage his negative self-talk? How can you empower your son to be able to talk himself out of that. What I mean by this is my boys are 15, 10, and 7. And when I started teaching these skills to my now 15-year-old, I noticed that I was doing this from a place of fear because I never wanted my son to become his father. And I had such fear of, you know, him not having the perfect role models for parents that I was doing everything in my power to make sure that he didn't become that person, where I was controlling everything that he thought. And every time he'd talk negatively about himself, I'm like, don't think like that. Don't think like that. And I became this helicopter parent. It was so restrictive. And I had so much anxiety because I was projecting my fear of who I didn't want my son to become. So when I started working on myself and working on my own negative self-talk, how I treated myself, even the ways of that I would talk down about myself around my parenting, because I perceived his negative self-talk a reflection of my lack of parenting. So I really had to dig into the way that I was talking to myself. And then asking myself, is it realistic for my 7-year-old to know how to pull himself up out when I'm projecting my own shit and I don't even know how to pull myself out of a negative self-talk spiral? So when we are the anchor, when we are the light, when we are the guidepost, and we just work on ourselves, try to control ourselves and become the energy that we want them to be, we can then see so much clearer and we don't try to control their behavior. So the tools and the strategies are, do you know how to feel in control of your own negative self-talk? Do you know how to deal with your triggers? Do you know how to manage your expectations for who he needs to be as a 7-year-old? Because when you do that, you become non-judgmental. And when you become non-judgmental, you can see your son for who he is, which is a 7-year-old. And you can start to ask him things like, is that true that your friend doesn't like you? And you're not going to go down in this mental spiral of, oh my gosh, he doesn't have any friends. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. Oh my gosh, I got to rescue. Think about how much mental energy and physical energy you spend trying to rescue your son from his own spiritual lessons. And how would your life be differently if you could just sit with him in his shit and hold space for him to figure it out? Because you are the guide. You are the guide. All right. So hopefully that was of service to you, Courtney. So now we're going to go on to Emily, and Emily talks about her 16-year-old daughter. My 16-year-old daughter is in her own personal bubble. She shuts herself in her room whenever she isn't at work, at school, or eating. Asking her to help on any level is like asking her to climb Everest. Meanwhile, her 13-year-old sister takes it all on, picking up dishes after meals, helping care for her 6-year-old, for our 6-year-old while I work from home, all with no complaints. I don't know how to express to the 16-year-old that her behavior is selfish without losing my damn mind on her. Her view is that she gives 110% at school and at work and can't give 110% across the board, which leaves us all super frustrated with her. Emily, I'm going to side with your 16-year-old. I want you to know what she's saying to you right now. Mom, I'm overwhelmed. Mom, I can't do it all. Mom, school is stressing me out. Work is stressing me out. And when I'm home, I just want to hide because I don't know how to manage these big emotions. And so everything, Emily, that I see here, when you calling your daughter selfish without losing your damn mind, is realizing the selfishness is coming from you, believing that your daughter needs to help you parent your own children. I understand that you are overwhelmed, but understand that your daughter is overwhelmed too. So when you begin to understand how to manage your own overwhelm, I know we're in the middle of a frickin' pandemic. This is not easy. So when you know how to manage your overwhelm of doing it all, of being the mom, of working from home, trying to take care of a 6-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 16-year-old. So here's some specific, tangible action steps. understand the projections that we're projecting onto our kids, that your daughter is being selfish. That is the epidemic of women today. It's selfish to take care of ourselves. And here's your daughter just trying to create some boundaries and put herself in her room and say, this is my safe space where the world doesn't need anything from me. And yet they're still trying to get me. And she's being perceived as selfish to just create space for herself. Yes, she's not perfect, and I don't know the whole story. But how does it feel for you when you're creating space for yourself and someone calls you selfish because you're just trying to take care of your own needs? So the projection of perceiving other people to be selfish is because we believe we are selfish if we create space for ourselves. So what is your 16-year-old here to teach you? And maybe your 13-year-old has more capacity, but we don't need to play the comparison game of this one is better than that one. Her behavior is telling you something. Her behavior is saying, I can't manage this. I can't do it all. Mom, I can't do it all. She needs you to hear her instead of judge her. So, a tangible action step for this would be to sit at the dinner table all together and say, okay, I'm putting duct tape over my mouth. I'm not going to yell at you. And we're all going to come up with solutions, tangible action steps that we can implement today, and we need to give each other feedback. And sit there with pen and paper, and you're all going to write. The 13-year-old can write, the 16-year-old, you. Everyone's going to write what they need. I need a break. I need a vacation. I need you to hear me. I need to be heard. I need to be seen. I need space. And then you're going to ask everyone, how can we make that happen? How can you give your daughter downtime from working part-time and going to school full-time in the middle of a pandemic and managing the stress of the household? What do you need? How can they create space for you? Maybe they're on duty on specific days and specific times. But you got to be able to give her some give too. Because as a 16-year-old, she's managing a lot. And she's learning as a woman that they need to do it all when that is not the truth. So first, giving yourself permission to create the space that you need and knowing that that is not selfish. That is not selfish. So Emily, let me know how that goes and keep in touch. Okay, so another one. How do I work with a middle school boy who has no focus and motivation to work through this distance learning and really school in general? I want to be proactive and supportive, but he hates learning this way in school and he's really struggling with focus and attention to detail, life skills. Okay, so this is such a common problem. So be mindful. I have three boys, 15, 10, and 7. Almost every child has had some quote-unquote learning disabilities from the school. So we have sensory processing. We have so many diagnoses. I'm over it. I'm so over it. Every year I'm told of why my child is not good enough. I'm also told, you know, how all the extra testing that they need. And I'm also told of how they're not going to be normal in the world. And for many, many years, I was absolutely terrified that my children were failing as humans. The second I dealt with my own emotional behaviors, the second I dealt with my own fears, the second I stopped projecting onto my kids, and I said, who do you want to be in the world? How do you want to learn? My life was 1,000 times easier. So school is actually incredibly stressful for children. And most of the time that stress is being projected onto them by pressures and expectations of adults. But when we take that off, and yes, you can push the ledge, right? You can challenge your children to show up, but you also have to pay attention to this mental health and emotional health. Because who's putting this pressure and expectation on the kids? Is it us as the adults? Is it our fear? Because remember, miserable people project their shit onto children. And we have to realize that we are in an epidemic of burnout, adult burnout, and adults are parenting children. And one of the blessings of COVID has been no social activities are happening, right? Extracurriculars. So I want to ask you, how much driving time, how much stress has been lifted off your plate from no running around like a chicken with your head cut off? I'm not talking about the added stress that has been added to your plate. I'm talking about the stress that has been lifted off your plate from the expectations of who you need to be for your children. So, I don't know about you, but it takes a lot of skill, and a lot of current teachers do not have the skills needed because they're teachers, they're not performers and online educators. I've been in the online world for a decade. It takes a special skill to be able to engage people online. So when our children are struggling, you have to ask yourself, what do I want them to learn? How does my child learn best? And how can I supplement this learning in alignment with how they want to be? And if they have to learn and sit in front of the computer, how can you sandwich that activity with maybe physical activity so that you're getting the child to physically move before and after school when they're sitting at the computer? Can you go in spurts? Can you just say to the teacher, like, your expectations are way too high for my child. This is not going to work for them. I had one client whose son has been diagnosed with so many things under the sun, on the spectrum, you name it. Kicked out of so many schools, kicked out of preschools. And I said to her, listen, your son is here to teach you how he wants to be educated. The more you put expectations on the square peg and the round hole that you're trying to jam him in, the bigger his behaviors are going to get. So the second she took him out of the system and created her own system, he thrived. He thrived. She literally put a trampoline in her living room, one of those little rebound, tiny person trampoline, and had him moving all day and doing math in between, and he thrived. So you have to get creative. But here's the truth. Children are exhausting. Children are exhausting. And so education and school is our saving grace sometimes because we need a fucking break. Right? We need a break. But if they're so exhausting, then why aren't you taking proactive care of your energy? Because that takes time. That takes dedication, and that takes commitment. So what is your son teaching you? What is your son teaching you? We're trying to jam square pegs in round holes. So many ways for us to say, how can I thrive? So use a sandwich idea. Put some movement in front of school, put some movement after school. Limit screen time. Limit screen time, reward behavior, be present, and be consistent. All right. So much more that I could say. I love, love, love dissecting human behavior, especially with our children. So if you keep them coming, I will keep sharing. If you don't keep them coming, I won't keep sharing. So text me, 313-710-5199. Let me know what your children's behaviors are. I'm going to keep talking about them. And no, you are not alone. We are all together in this. Take what I say. Take what works and leave the rest. All right, you got this.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you and I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.